Are you in love with her?
Wilfrida said, looking up at him. I've only told one woman that I ever loved her, he said.
Your wife?
No. The girl died before I could marry her.
And how long was you married?
29 years, though it's none of your business.
Lord, grab me. All that time, and you never once told her you loved her?
It wasn't necessary, he said, and walked away. The hut he chose was occupied by Monat and Kaz. Kaz was snoring away, Monat was leaning on his elbow and smoking a marijuana stick. Monat preferred that to tobacco because it tasted more like his native tobacco, however he got little effect from it. On the other hand, tobacco sometimes gave him fleeting but vividly colored visions. Burton decided to save the rest of his dream gum, as he called it. He lit up a cigarette, knowing that marijuana would probably make his rage and frustration even darker. He asked Monat questions about his home, Gurk. He was intensely interested, but the marijuana betrayed him, and he drifted away while the Seton's voice became fainter and fainter.
"Cover your eyes now, boys,"
Gilchrist said in his broad Scots speech. Richard looked at Edward. Edward grinned and put his hands over his eyes, but he was surely peeking through the spaces between his fingers. Richard placed his own hands over his eyes and continued to stand on tiptoe. Although he and his brother were standing on boxes, they still had to stretch to see over the heads of the adults in front of them. The woman's head was in the stock by now. Her long brown hair had fallen over her face. He wished he could see her expression as she stared down at the basket waiting for her, or for her head, rather.
"Don't peek now, boys," Gilchrist said again.
There was a roll of drums, a single shout, and the blade raced downward, and then a concerted shout from the crowd mingled with some screams and moans, and the head fell down. The neck spurted out blood and would never stop. It kept spurting and spurting while the sun gleamed on it. It spurted out and covered the crowd, and though he was at least 50 yards from her, the blood struck him in the hands and seeped down between his fingers and over his face, filling his eyes and blinding him and making his lips sticky and salty. He screamed,
"Wake up, Dick,"
Monat was saying. He was shaking Burton by the shoulder.
"Wake up. You must have been having a nightmare."
Burton, sobbing and shivering, sat up. He rubbed his hands and then felt his face. Both were wet, but with perspiration, not with blood.
"I was dreaming," he said. "I was just 6 years old and in the city of Tours, in France, where we were living then. My tutor, John Gilchrist, took me and my brother Edward to see the execution of a woman who had poisoned her family."
"It was a treat," Gilchrist said.
"I was excited and I peeked through my fingers when he told us not to watch the final seconds when the blade of the guillotine came down. But I did. I had to. I remember getting a little sick in my stomach, but that was the only effect the gruesome scene had on me. I seemed to have dislocated myself while I was watching it. It was as if I saw the whole thing through a thick glass, as if it were unreal, or I was unreal. So I wasn't really horrified."
Monat had lit another marijuana. Its light was enough so that Burton could see him shaking his head.
"How savage! You mean that you not only killed your criminals, you cut their heads off, in public, and you allowed your children to see it?"
"They were a little more humane in England," Burton said. "They hung the criminals.
At least the French permitted the people to be fully aware that they were spilling the blood of their criminals," Monat said. "The blood was on their hands, but apparently this aspect did not occur to anyone, not consciously anyway. So now, after how many years, 63, you smoke some marijuana, and you relive an incident which you had always believed did not harm you. But this time you recoil with horror. You screamed like a frightened child. You reacted as you should have reacted when you were a child. I would say that the marijuana dug away some deep layers of repression and uncovered the horror that had been buried there for 63 years.
"Perhaps," Burton said.
He stopped. There was thunder and lightning in the distance. A minute later a rushing sound came, and then the patter of drops on the roof. It had rained about this time last night, about 3 in the morning, he would guess, and this second night it was raining about the same time.